master comes in. The ring of ignite is no longer I that liveth in me, Christ that liveth in me. don't think we're praising greatly enough. Praise God. It says, great is the Lord. And greatly, not minuscule, not minuscule, or not minimal, but greatly to be praised. Amen. That means you have to praise him greatly. Praise Amen. God. Put a bit of effort into praise God. If you got a minuscule present on Christmas morning, you might be too happy. You'd want the partner, the wife, or the parents, whoever gets you your present, to put a bit of effort into it. You'd want a good present, wouldn't you? Well, God wants good praise. Praise Amen. The Lord. Amen. Amen. The psalmist David says, greatly to be praised. He deserves our best praise, our greatest effort. And you know about praise, the Bible says sometimes you have to make a sacrifice of praise, because when you get on a night like this here, maybe you're cold, maybe you don't feel the best, and you have to put a bit of an effort into it. But praise God, it's worth putting an effort into it. If you didn't put your effort into making your dinner, you'd go hungry. Praise God. So we need to make an effort sometimes to praise the Lord. I know it's maybe not always feeling like doing it, but it's good to make an effort to praise God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Well, let it be our joy this evening, praise God. If the earth's not going to be joyous about it, let us be joyful about it this evening. Praise God. Amen. Great.
Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. Quite a lengthy reading tonight. But the Lord bless each one. I'm sure everyone's heard. Pastor Billy Patterson's passed away the day. He took ill in the early hours of the morning. A stroke. And he went on to be with the Lord. And that's Sharon's uncle. Sharon's auntie's married to Brother Billy. So I think the funeral's maybe on Monday. So please remember the family in prayer. And Brother George and Sister Winifred's caught the flu or the cold again. So pray for them as well. And as Brother Gary said, it's been going round. And it's great to have Gary leading the songs tonight. And we just appreciate each one, amen. Let's come and bow our heads again. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand before the Lord this evening. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that name and the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God, we have access from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence. Lord, we do plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb, fresh over this house and all that's in it. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, I just take the Holy Ghost right now by faith, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I thank you that you will undertake. I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you this evening for the hands that's raised. Lord, you know every need physically, financially, Father, that you'll meet every single need and you will bless your people pressed down and running over the top in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Sister Agnes, Charlie and Anna and all the family circle tonight. Lord, just strengthen them. Lord, encourage them. For we know Paul said, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Lord, just give your grace at this time. Pray for George and Winifred. You bless them and touch them and heal them. And for Matthew, you'll touch them and heal them. And for Brother Gary, you'll touch them and minister unto them and make them every bit whole, Lord. And give them a strength back in Jesus' precious name. And any others that need your touch tonight, Lord, we just lift them up before you. For we know you're the miracle working God. We have claimed you as our Savior, and we're claiming you as our healer tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. And it's good to see Brother Larry back tonight. God bless you, brother, as well. Now, I want to tell you, I told you the wife I'd be an hour in the office to get this ready. But that never happened. Time just went. And when I come out, she says to me, I thought you weren't coming to bed tonight. But I got into something and I couldn't get out of it. And then I run out of time. And this is bigger than what I had time to fully go into. But I want us to turn to chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. And I thought I was out of 1 Samuel and into 2 Samuel. And I was doing that and I just couldn't do it. I had to come back to this. And then I was thinking of a certain thing. And I got into it and then it went into other things. And we're going to have a brief look at these tonight. Verse 37 of 1 Samuel. And my title tonight is The Battle Belongs to the Lord. But there's a lot of other stuff you could call it because there's so many things in it. But we'll just pray the Lord will help us. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on him a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proven it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of a brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. But all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. There's my text. Amen. And he will give you into our hands. Praise the Lord. Now tonight, when you look at this victory of David, and you know, I suppose Saul must have been 7 foot tall. And the reason I'm saying that is because he was head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. Now, if he was head and shoulders above every other man in Israel, and if they were close to 6 foot, he must have been 7 foot. But that's just my thinking. I'm not saying I'm right, but I suppose that. And David could have been tall because he gave him his armor. But we know whether he was tall or he wasn't tall, he was young. He was very young. We know that. The Bible's clear in that. And this giant called Goliath, and I've studied it and counted it out and calculated it, I reckon he was at least 9 foot 6 inches tall. And I'm going to mention a bit about his armour and stuff in a minute. But he disdained David. He saw him as a youth. He had no experience of war. He actually looked at him and he thought to himself, he hasn't got a helmet. He's no shield. He's no spear. He's no sword. He's coming bare. He's coming bare. And not only had Goliath his shield, his spear, and his sword, but he had an armour bearer went before him. The man went in front of him carrying the shield, and he come behind him. There was two of them, really. And David come at him in the name of the Lord. And what he didn't realise was there was more power in the name of the Lord than there wasn't any shield or sword or spear that he could ever come with. The power wasn't so much in the earthly things he had. You know, Reinhard Bonnke preached on this one time, and I remember it many years ago, and he said, you see, he talked about David's brothers, and they were all afraid to go, and he said they were the unanointed professionals. They knew. They were trained in war, and they did spears, and they did shields and the sword, but they weren't anointed. They were unanointed professionals. And there's a lot of preachers today, and they're unanointed professionals. But David had none of the stuff you could see with your eyes, but he had the anointing and the call of God on him, and the power of God was on him. And going in the secret away from Goliath and away from these armies and away from Jesse, David's dad, and David's brothers, God had proved himself to David on more than one occasion. And David knew what God was able to do, but they didn't. Now they should have, but they'd forgotten. And I tell you, we need to be careful that we don't forget. We don't forget. And you know, when T.L. Osborne preached William Branham's funeral service, and his whole theme of the message when he did the service of William Branham, T.L. Osborne asked the question, why did God do it again? The ministry that he gave William Branham and the miracles and all them wonderful things. He said, had he not done it before? He said he had done it before. Jesus had done it before, but he did it again because we forget. And God did it again. And I tell you, God was going to do it again here in front of all the people of Israel. He didn't have to do it. He did it in secret. David saw it. David knew it. It was between David and God. God was training David in the background, and he was only a lad. Only a lad, and God was training him in the background. Now, you know, many of us face giants of loneliness, giants of persecution, giants of sickness, and all sorts of things. We all face giants, but thank the Lord that the Lord's on our side. Now, this giant spear, the head of a spear was, it tells you the amount of shackles here, we'll read it in a moment, but I calculated up and it weighs just over a stone in weight. Now, the problem is when you count the shackles from the Bible, and you can go and count them, but there's two versions. There's one version gives a heavier weight than the other one. So I'm not sure which one's the right one. There's two different aspects on it. But we're taking to the lighter side of it. But when you take the lighter side of it, the spearhead weighed about a stone in weight, the spearhead. 16-pound weight. 15, 16-pound weight when you count the shackles. Then the rod or the shaft that the spearhead was on was like a weaver's beam. A weaver's beam. And they estimate it's at least 12 feet in length. This spear that Goliath had, at least 12 feet in length, and at least 2.5 inches thick, at least. I reckon it was more than 2.5 myself, because the size of that man. Now, here's the thing about it, and I've come on it, and it's interesting, I can't go too much into tonight, but there was giants on the earth at this time, and there's names for them. And there were several different families of giants, and the servants of David knew about them, and they fought them, and they killed them. And Goliath had four brothers. Now, I remember preaching one time before that Goliath had four brothers, and I suggested David picked 5 stones, one for Goliath and 4 for his brothers, but some people said that wouldn't be right. But whether they believed that or not, it made no difference to me. I believed it. I believed it was right, and I still do. And it makes no difference to me where it's right or not. That's just my thought on it. But I can prove to you that the men of David slew them other 4 brothers. I can tell you that. They slew them. They got courage, you see. When one man went forward, they got courage. But you think of this weaver's beam and these brothers, it's older, and I'm not saying I'm young or you're too old, but you don't understand, I mean, a weaver's beam. Do you ever see a weaver's beam? I was going to get a photograph of it, but Matthew wasn't able to want to come tonight, and he's going to show you. It's on the top of the weaving mill, and it goes across it, and the stuff hangs on it, like a weaver's beam. Now, trying to calculate this sword, and I had said 200 pounds, that must have been exaggerating. It wouldn't have been 200 pounds in weight, but it was heavy. I don't think it would have been maybe 200 pounds, maybe it was too heavy. But the thing is, it was a bigger than a normal sword, that's for sure. Half, maybe the size again. And it doesn't give the exact weight, really, of the sword. Somebody said the sword weighed so many shackles, and I studied it and read it, and it's not the sword, it's the spearhead that weighed them amount of shackles, not the sword. It doesn't say that. So we have to try and read it right, but we know it was heavy, wasn't it? It was a big sword. But David was able to lift it. And then David got this sword again. You see the giant Goliath, 9 feet 6 inches tall, a spearhead like a weaver's beam, 12 foot long, and the spear weighing 16 pounds in weight, and his coat of mail weighed between 130 to 160 pounds in weight. So if you take the lowest mark, counting them shackles, it can be at least 130 pound weight. That's almost 10 stone. 140 is 10 stone. And that can go right up to 180 pound weight, some people reckon. So let's just say that his coat of mail weighed 10 stone. So Goliath's coat of mail armor was the weight of a young man. Isn't that right? So you imagine the weight of his coat on him was the weight of a young man. He was a giant in every sense of the word. And we're going to see tonight there's a lot of unique things about these giants. They had 6 fingers and they had 6 toes. 24 digits. And the normal's 20 digit, but that 24 digit, they weren't just normal, they were giants. Now, how did these giants come about? Well, the modern theologian will tell you that the angels come down and press themselves into human bodies. And, you know, they intermingle with human beings. And I believe that's false teaching. Absolutely false. But a prophet of God at the end time showed us how it came about. That the serpent was the closest thing to the human being. And there was a mingling. And giants were produced. And the Bible's full of them, and we can't get rid of them because they're in here. And there's plenty of them in here. And I tell you, there's things we know that God's revealed in these last days, but we maybe don't think a lot of it. But I tell you, God's done it. God's opened our eyes. And why should we accept something else? And you see, I believe what William Branham said, he said, if them angels could do that, that would make them creators. And that's impossible. That's alone to God. They can't do that. An angel can't do that. An angel can come as a man. In that sense, he can change his form, and you think you're talking a man. I believe that. But the intermingle, it can't happen. And you know, after Genesis, God put enmity between the seeds, and it could never take place again. Now, that's not really my subject tonight, but I just thought I would drop that in while I'm passing. Now, you think of the armor he's wearing, his helmet on him as well. You could weigh it on the things on his legs. You could weigh them. And I tell you, you calculate everything this man's on him. He's a lot of weight on him. The stuff he's wearing would weigh as much as a heavy human being, what he's wearing in his body. This is a mighty man. He has terrorized the whole nation of Israel. And they're all afraid of him. And even Saul's afraid of him. And they're all afraid of him. And here's a young fella comes out and cleans him. Because he's not working with man's ability. He's working with the supernatural ability of God. I tell you, when we get into the supernatural ability of God, the supernatural ability of God can give the spoken word. And the spoken word is where things are spoken. And Paul says to speak those things that are not into being as though they were. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background in this, because for anybody that's never heard these things, 2 Samuel 21, verse 18 to 20, and I just want you to get this picture of this sword. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. And Sibbekakkah, and I might pronounce this right, the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giants. So here's a man that was slain, and he was of the sons of the giants. And there were again a battle in Gath with the Philistines, where Elhanan the son of Jerahmeel, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Galaad, the Gileadite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. So he slew one of Galaad's brothers, and Galaad's brother had the same type of spear he had. Now, you think these fellows were making queer weapons, weren't they? Back in these Bible times, they had weapons of war. They were killers. Now, I want you to see all this, and then we're going to also see about these mighty men that was with David. And I tell you, those men that was David was mighty men. And Rock mentioned it one time in a meeting, and the boy said, "Do you ever hear the like of that? That's not in the Bible." But it was in the Bible, where he said that he dropped into a pit on a snowy day and he slew a lamb. One of David's mighty men. You think of that now. Now I know we joke about it and we carry on about it, but I'll tell you what, dropping into a pit on a snowy day, you think of the day like the day it would have skinned you out there, out the day, and it would have skinned you. And you imagine an old cold day like that, and you drop in, I tell you, they were courageous men. I wanted just to bring out something to your attention this evening, and I believe the Holy Spirit's really impressed this on my heart. The men that was with David weren't ordinary men. The men that was with David, the Bible calls them mighty men. They were specially chosen men that were along with David. David just didn't have nobody with him. David had mighty men with him. One of David's men was as good as 100, maybe even more. That's how mighty they were. And I tell you, if you have the right brother or sister with you that can pray, I'm telling you, one will put the 1,000 to flight and 2 the 10,000s, and a threefold cord's not easily broken. When we unite in prayer, the devil's in trouble, I'm telling you. And we see it here with David's mighty man. Praise God. You see this man here, look, and Goliath, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam, verse 20. And there was yet a battle in Gath where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giants. So these men with 6 fingers and these men with 6 toes were born to the giants. Now I'm telling you tonight that they didn't come from Adam, but they come from somewhere. There was an intermingling and it produced a lot of giants. And I'm going to tell you something, this earth heading back the same road. And what I mean by that is the Bible tells us in the last days there'll be men of renown, mighty men. And today people want to be big names, don't they? Look what I've done. But it's not important what somebody does in a physical aspect, what the world thinks is great, but it's what's done in the spiritual realm that's great in the eyes of God. Amen? And I tell you, you know, you look at even the strong man seeing the day compared to years ago. And years ago, a man at 6'3" or 6'4" was a big man. But today, there's 7 feet tall, almost several of them. And it's no strange thing now, they're getting bigger all the time and stronger all the time. And look what they're able to lift today. Half a ton. Half a ton. A man's lifted to the ground today. Now, I know that's impressive, but it wouldn't impress Samuel or Samson. It wouldn't impress Samson. And Eddie Hall said he's the first man to lift 500 kilos. Well, if I was talking to him, I'd tell him he's not. I would tell him that Samson could have lifted the 500 with no Joe Weider supplements on his wee finger and run up over the hill with. And he done heavier than that 2-ton gates. And up over the hill he went. And then it could take up to an old man in the Bible that he run before the horses and chariots for miles. And a horse at 35 miles an hour couldn't catch him. That's how quick he was. Usain Bolt would have nothing to blow by if he had to follow him. But there's great men today. But when you go into this Bible, God has men. Yeah. Under the Spirit of God. That they've done special things, praise God. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 22 to 25. And I don't know if I've ever preached from Chronicles. It's this book, this Bible's some book, isn't it? The older I get, the better this Bible's getting. I'm telling you. You think, boy, you've read it, and that's great, and you've read it. You haven't even brushed the surface. There's not much in it, golden nuggets all through it. And a red line runs from Genesis to Revelation. It's the blood of Jesus. 1 Chronicles 11, 22 to 25. Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, He slew two lion like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. There was rock scripture that people said wasn't in the Bible. There it is in it tonight. It's in 1 Chronicles 11, 22. Lion like men. And they must have looked like lions. And I'm telling you, that's where it came from. And we know where it came from. Now, the old scientist, he's still looking around at the monkey. And he's been looking at the monkey for a long time. When he's looking the wrong road, God hid it from him. These things are hid from the wise and the prudent, but they're revealed unto whom the Lord chooses, babes and sucklings. That's what the word of God says. Verse 23 says, and he slew an Egyptian man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam, and he went down to him with a staff and plucked a spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. I tell you, these are mighty men, David, aren't they? These are powerful men. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. Now, I want you to get this. Here's a sermon on his own self. He could preach on the three mighties. What about that there? What about the three mighties for a text? That's some text. Somebody's going to have to preach that somewhere. Three mighties. Boy, I was really intrigued when I read this verse. And I don't know, I could have read it before, but you know when you read it, you never see it, and then you read it again, you see it. Maybe the Lord wants you to see it, but the other time you didn't see it. Among the three mighties, listen to this. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three, and David set him over the guard. Now, honorable, he wasn't even as good as the first three, but he was something, wasn't he? I tell you, you think of these men, how powerful they were. I'm telling you. Now, let me tell you this. You know, if you were going into a battle with these fellas, would you? You wouldn't have any worries, would you? You knew the talk about having your back. You know, years ago, and I'll mention no names, years ago, our fellow will know about this. I'll tell you this. It's funny now looking back on it, but shouldn't have happened. But anyhow, there's a fella, and he's near my dad's age. This fella's a man in his 70s, a big man. He runs about with his trousers rolled up. And he was a tough boy about the more in the day. I would have been at school. I was still at school. And there's two fellas, and I says, now, will I tell you? I'll tackle him. If you give me a hand, if I'm getting it tight. He was giving us a bit of old cheeky drink in him. And he was a full-grown man. He was a big man. I was only a wee lad at school. And probably about Isaac's age. And I says to the two boys, now, he's ready. I'll jump him now if you give me a hand. And I was about to jump this man, I'll not mention his name. And I looked round, the two boys were going over the hill. Never seen them for about 2 days. They're away like a flash. And I put my hand out and said, how you doing, all right, boy? that was the end of it. I thought of two mighty men with a put. When it come round to the real fight, there were nowhere to be seen. So Tom changed his mind, and he thought he'd take an easier mission. But I tell you, these mighty men of David, if these boys were here, they wouldn't have left you. They wouldn't have left you. You think of this evening. Think of Uriah the Hittite, Uriah. You think of how brave that man was. That David put him to the forefront of the battle. He wanted him killed. He wanted rid of him. But that man was that brave. He never went home to his own house or nothing. He gave us all for David because David was the king. He gave everything and he died at the forefront. That's how brave he was. I'll tell you, you know, it's great when you know you have somebody that's with you, isn't it? And I tell you, we have somebody with us tonight. And the Bible says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's never lost a case. Glory to God. The battle belongs to the Lord. Here in 1 Chronicles 20, verse 48. And it came to pass after this that there arose a war in Gezer and the Philistines, at which the, now this is another name, Shibhazai the Hushite slew Sipiah, that was the children of the giants. And they were subdued. And there was war again with the Philistines. And Elihanan, the son of Jair, slew Lothmai, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear stop was like a weaver's beam. And yet again there was a war at Gath. There was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes were 4 and 20, 6 in each hand, and 6 in each foot, and he was of the son of the giants. But when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, slew him. These were born unto the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. I tell you, these men, they fought them. And we're in a spiritual warfare tonight. We're in a warfare against spiritual giants that are seated in high places. But we have one tonight that rules the universe. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're encamped about with a mighty host tonight. There's a host of angels that we can't see tonight that encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Take courage tonight, for the Lord's on our side. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against them. And here when these giants came, and they paralyzed hundreds of people that were afraid of them, and God sent one man. One man. And that one man struck the fear into them. And then when that one man struck the fear into them, the rest took courage. And I want you to know that 2,000 years ago, that one man was sent. And that one man defeated death, and he conquered hell, and he conquered the grave, and he rose triumphant on the third day, and he ever liveth tonight to make intercession for the saints. He's living. And his ears open to our cry tonight. And I tell you, it doesn't matter what we're going through, the Lord hears us, and he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And he's very real tonight. And I tell you, when we're sincere and call on the name of the Lord will answer us. You could read Deuteronomy 2 and 20, and you could read Joshua 17 and 15, and you could read about all these mighty men and these giants. But I haven't got time tonight. And you could read about this sword of Goliath, where David went into the priest and he got this sword of Goliath that was kept as a souvenir, and David took it again. Praise God. Now I wanted to preach in that sword, but I had too many things going, and I couldn't get what I wanted, and I had to just leave it at that. David knew the battle was the Lord's. Whatever type of giant we are facing, it's not your battle, it's the Lord's battle. Psalms 24, 78. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, mighty in battle, the Lord, mighty in battle. The Lord of hosts, the Lord, mighty in battle. He's the King tonight, and he's on our side. The battle's the Lord's, the mighty in battle. This is the title of the Lord. The Lord mighty in battle. This is the Lord's title. The Lord mighty in battle. If you're in trouble, don't be worrying. The Lord's the Lord mighty in battle. I tell you, the Lord's mighty in battle. And we need to take that name up and use that name. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. He's the Lord mighty in battle, and he's the Lord of all glory. And he's my Savior tonight. And he's your Savior tonight. And you have a right to the name. And you can call on the name. And you can invoke the name. And you can use the name. And you can ask for protection in your family and over your home. And you can ask God to meet your needs. He's your health and your wealth and your blessing tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord is the Lord of the battle. The Lord is the Lord of glory. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. The Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord mighty in battle. The person is the Lord of glory. The battle is the Lord's. Look at the battles the Lord has fought. Look at the Lord in the wilderness. He conquered the enemy with a sword of the word of God. And just as David took the head of the enemy with his natural sword, and he slew him and he killed him. And he carried his head up and he gave it to them, didn't he? Imagine that, showing the victory. And I tell you, thousands of years ago, it was prophesied that his head shall bruise his heel. The seed of the woman, that was Jesus Christ. And on the cross, he conquered that old enemy. And I tell you, there's a day coming when he's going to finish him properly. He's wounded him. And he's going to finish him properly. I'm going to close tonight. I hope I've said something to encourage you this evening so much. And I'm only hitting the highlights because I haven't time. But isn't the Lord good? Might you could trace them giants and go through a whole study on it. And All them weapons and swords and all them things. It's just so interesting, isn't it? What God done. You see, I'm bringing these things out to let you see the magnificency of the battle David won because of the Lord. And when you look at this Old Testament, does it give you encouragement to know this was all done under the Old Covenant? And we're under the New Covenant tonight. And I tell you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let's come and pray this evening. And let's really believe he's the Lord, mighty in battle. Bring him into your situation. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you're the Lord of glory. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory that you left the glory and splendor of heaven above. And you took upon you the form of a man and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, the word of God says, you lowered yourself a little lower than the angels. And you came down. Oh, Lord, we praise your name this evening. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your victories. We realize tonight from your word that the battle belongs to the Lord. Lord, when we see these mighty men, even when the enemy tried to produce a super race, you always had the original. We thank you tonight that your word's perfect. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. So is the word of God. Father, I pray you'll strengthen everyone in this house. Touch our brother Gary from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. May he know your miracle power. Bless his whole family. Bless each one in this house tonight. From the youngest to the oldest. Father, we praise you this evening. We ask you again for the Patterson family, for the McBurney family, for all the family circle. Pray you'll strengthen and comfort them at this time. And Lord, that you'll just have your way. Lord, we thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. That you're the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, we're leaning to you tonight, the strong-breasted one, El Shaddai. Oh, how lovely you are, Lord Jesus. How wonderful you are, your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we magnify and praise your lovely name tonight. We speak your name in this house. We speak your name over our home and over our children. We plead the merits of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we place between our family and the enemy the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we claim every one of them for the kingdom of God tonight. Lord, save the son, the daughter, the husband, the wife, the aunt, the uncle. Save them in Jesus' precious name. Pray for especially for Albert McKinstry tonight. Lord, he's heard the gospel. He knows the truth. But I pray the Holy Ghost will work on him. Pray the Holy Ghost will move on him. And speak a word until his innermost pain. Father, for the backslider tonight, speak to them, I pray, wherever they're at, wherever they are, speak to them. Move in your own people, I pray. Lord, this year's almost gone, but how we need you more than ever, Lord Jesus. We want you to pour out of your spirit amongst us. We want you to revive your work in the midst of the years, even this fellowship. And pour the Holy Ghost of blessing amongst your people. Anoint us and bring us everyone into the place of prayer and worship where we'll uplift and magnify your beautiful name. Lord, we're so appreciative of you tonight. Lord, when we come round the Christmas table at this time of the year, Lord, we're not worried about Santa Claus, but we're thinking of the babe of Bethlehem, God's wrapped gift. What a gift. What a privilege that we can call your master and our Lord tonight. Amen. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you've saved us. We thank you that many's a time you've healed us. We thank you you've filled us with the Holy Spirit and you can fill us again. Lord, we pray you'll pour your blessing out upon the services that lay ahead. We ask you, Lord, for Sunday morning and evening, for the testimonies. Oh, God, pour your spirit out. Move in this house, I pray. Add to your work such as should be saved. Save the sinner. Restore the backslider. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Stretch your arm forth with mighty signs and wonders in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Father, we'll give you all the praise and the glory. Touch those that's laid aside sick tonight. May they know the Spirit of God on them this evening. I rebuke the devil over them tonight. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity tonight. I rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ tonight.
Bind the strong, my Lord, and spoil his goods. In Jesus' precious name, loose the Holy Ghost amongst every one of us this evening. Shut up the gifts within your people, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Father, close us in with yourself tonight. And may we know your presence on our flesh, in our spirits, and on our bodies. In Jesus' precious name. Oh God, come on us as the former and the latter rain in the first month. Pour your Holy Ghost upon your people afresh, I pray. May we hear the sound of the going in the top of the mulberry tree, we pray. The going of the wind of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. God bless each one this evening. Praise God.